Today's March 24th, 2024. Current Bitcoin price is $65,580.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
Happy Sunday Funday, Rick.
Absolutely.
How are you?
Yes. Doing good. Snow on this spring morning. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, we had a little bit of snow, a little bit of rain.
That's right.
Whole lot of just moisture.
That's right. Moisture. It was pretty well it lasted.
Yeah. No, what we had reached almost, 70 degrees Fahrenheit?
Yeah, the day before.
Yeah. It was a very nice day, to say the least. And then, of course, we were trying to look for some stuff, but we don't have a whole lot in the way of Bitcoin news. What is our theoretical purchase at right now?
Okay, well, theoretically, you know, we did the purchase of Bitcoin. I got to find it. We did $3,000 back on October 27th because we saw that the news that the Bitcoin ETFs were coming. I've kind of bumped up the price and said, if you've got right now, I'm pretty sure you're going to do well. And we have done pretty well. With the 0.0855 Bitcoin with the $3,000, we have, at the current price, 65,000, we're at 5804. Not as quiet, as high as it was, you know, what, back on the 13th when, you know, we got up to almost $6,500.
Yeah.
So we've lost a little bit of that step, but still 5800 out of $3,000 and just, you know, not even 6 months or right around there. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, no, that's a very decent return for sure. And it's one of those things that it's scary, especially like if you were investing everything you had into Bitcoin and seeing those kind of fluctuations, like it is such an adrenaline rush when you're riding the high. But when you see the pullback, like because they can be drastic pullbacks, like it hurts. Or at least it can, but you got to realize, like, if you don't sell, it's not realized, right?
That's right. Yeah. And when you don't sell, it's not taxed with capital gains.
Yeah, that's true, too. And the other thing, too, is that, I mean, you've got to keep in mind, like, nothing goes straight up. You've got to have these pullbacks. They're healthy for the market. We kind of talked about that the last episode. So I'm not seeing anything that's causing me concern yet. This is just kind of a typical Bitcoin cycle, especially for how much we've had the progressive move up. Really, I mean, for how many months now? It's been since January, pretty much, that we've just been up, almost up only. We've had fluctuations like within a day, but this is the longest kind of sideways down action that we've had in a little while.
Yep. Well, I think the market's kind of accumulating. It's just bouncing between a range, you know, kind of touching. Well, it got almost to 61 here recently, and it seems like 63 is the new floor where it bounces right back off of.
Yeah. Yeah, I was looking at TradingView right now on their super chart, and ever since we hit that kind of peak of that 73, 74,000 range, like we saw a draw back down to 60,000, looks like 900, 600, somewhere right in there, and then we've kind of just been kind of bouncing up and down between there, but we are seeing, you know, currently right now it's in a kind of a wedge pattern, but that's kind of typical. And something we're seeing within that as well is we saw, and we did touch on this last episode too, but we have a little bit more data on the outflows from Grayscale, which have been tremendous this week.
Yes.
We saw well over $1 billion between the 18th and the 19th. Of outflows from Grayscale. And then another, it looks like, what is that? 3, 6, 7, about another 800 million on top of that. So nearly $2 billion worth of outflows from Grayscale within this past week. And just the buying from the other ETFs currently have kind of slowed down a little bit, but they haven't been able to overcome that bleed out that's been happening with Grayscale.
Yeah. Well, you got to think that a lot of the reason that the prices stayed up. I mean, with as much as Grayscale's putting out and the pace that they're doing that, it looks like retail is probably picking up that slack. Otherwise, the price would actually be much lower.
Yeah, I think people are buying again. I think there's a, I, you know, and I do feel a little bit bad because my brother-in-law reached out to me the other day and he asked me, he's like, hey, you know, Bitcoin's at 70, you know, 73,000. I'm like, should I sell? And I told him, no, not yet. And he's probably like, oh, I should have sold. That was the top. I'm just like, no, not yet. Don't sell yet. But to each their own. It's not financial advice, right? Like you got to sell out whenever you feel comfortable to sell out. I personally would, I think we have a lot more upside potential ahead of us.
Yep. Well, speaking of that, how many weeks out from the halving?
Probably 3.
3 weeks. I mean, April 18th is the rough date. So it's definitely less than 4 weeks. And one thing that was kind of interesting is the Bitcoin, the annual supply increase, just as, you know, the new blocks are mined and the rewards that are happening. Right now, the block reward size is 1.6% per year annual growth. And when the halving happens, that growth gets cut in half. So now we're going to be below 1%.
Yeah.
So, or 0.8% roughly.
And to put that in comparison, what's gold right now?
Gold fluctuates between 1% and 2%, and I think the chart that you showed was said it was 1.7% last year.
So it's going to be significantly less than gold at this point, like once this happening kicks in.
Well, it's already less than gold. I'm at 1.6%, but when it goes to 0.8%, I mean, yeah, drastically
Yeah.
restricted supply growth.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting to kind of see that and to see that kind of data hardcore. And yeah, the Bitcoin halving clock right now, we're at 25 days. Currently is what we're looking at. So yeah, we're not very far away from that. It's and I mean, for those of you that are hearing about this, like the halving, like when that happens, it's not going to be a huge impact right away. I mean, it is to the supply. But I don't think you're going to see that reflected in the price right away.
Yeah, probably not. Historically, it takes what, 6 months for the peak to happen
Yeah. Anywhere
after
from
this.
4 to 6 months after that is when it'll start to really kind of move the price again. But I mean, everything's been accelerated this cycle too, so that could be quicker.
Yeah, well, I've never seen a cycle where we hit an all-time high before having so.
Right. Yeah. That's the big thing is like everything right now could be drastically different. My wife was asking me about this. She's like, everything you're talking about, everything is like, oh, it's so new. It's so new. It's like, well, we're really like, it is new. Like this is different this time. We don't know exactly. We never know what's going to happen once it crosses a new all-time high, right? But
Yeah.
this is just such a different market this time because we have a different grade of investor in the market.
Well, traditional finance is involved in this market for the first time.
Yeah. Which, I mean,
So,
it's a double-edged sword, right?
exactly. Yeah, I mean, the rules of the game are just basically turned upside down.
So.
And I mean, if it wasn't for Grayscale, who knows what the price would be at right now?
Yeah, I don't think we'd be near where we're at right now. Because, I mean, it just came out now that Grayscale now has 243,000 Bitcoin. And that was, 13 hours ago that was listed. So 243,000 Bitcoin is now what Grayscale has. That's well over 1% of all the Bitcoin supply out there currently, or total, I mean, that'll ever exist.
You said Grayscale. Do you mean
Or not Grayscale,
Grayscale?
BlackRock, yeah. Correct myself. Not well, Grayscale had quite a bit too, but they've been selling it like it's candy.
They used to have 200,000.
They're like, take it from us. We don't want it.
But no, Bitcoin basically now, or BlackRock has 1% of the supply of Bitcoin.
Yeah. Which is scary because I always go back to using MicroStrategy as the kind of the yardstick for that, right? It took MicroStrategy, like they're just now, and I don't even think they're quite what Grayscale, or not Grayscale, BlackRock currently has. I want to say MicroStrategy still has like 193,000 Bitcoin. So they weren't quite at 1%. They may have been pushing more. I know that Saylor was trying to take out another loan to be able to purchase some more Bitcoin. So currently at this time, I don't think they're quite at that $200,000 or 200,000 Bitcoin mark. But, I mean, considering BlackRock's done it in just a matter of less than 3 months, that tells you something.
Yeah. That's pretty nuts. Well, the one thing with difference between BlackRock and MicroStrategy is MicroStrategy actually owns their Bitcoin, whereas BlackRock's technically hold the custodian for other people's money.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's absolutely true. And there was something else too that because we were looking, like we're pulling some of this information on the ETF outflows or the ETF flows in general off of a website called Farsight Investors. And you were talking about something about the different charts that were very stark, kind of in contrast. What was it that kind of stood out to you when you were looking at that?
Well, they have a daily, they update the daily amounts of all the ETFs, but then they have some charts and graphs. And one of the interesting graphs, I mean, you look at Grayscale, they actually have it in the color gray and it's negative. And then, but everything else is going up. And it looked like the amount of spot coin ETF, the total that was invested peaked at March 17th, right before Grayscale really took a serious one. But the really stark one is the Grayscale BTC daily outflow. And it is sporadic, but there's some giant numbers coming down from January 21st. You know, like there's some spikes that happened. It doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of reason or why what's happening. We've known that they were selling for FTX. They were selling some of the shares for Genesis. But I don't know what to explain on this. It just looks like they're shedding Bitcoin left and right.
Yeah, it's kind of weird because you do almost have like that double, I want to say a double top type looking at that, because we've got, what is this? What date is this? This is January 22nd, where they had 641, I'm guessing that 641,000 Bitcoin that was sold out from their supply. And then again on March 18th, which is when we saw the big kind of out of the peak, kind of the downturn within the market right now, where we had 643,000 Bitcoin sold from them. So, like, I mean, that's crazy to look at that in the way that it's gone up and then it kind of goes back down again. But it's just been consistent selling on their part.
Yeah. And I mean, that's kind of the rules of the game now. We don't really know what's happening. We don't know when Grayscale is necessarily going to run out, but they're shedding.
Yeah.
They're still shedding.
Yeah. No, it's kind of crazy. Like, I mean, that's a lot. That's a lot that's just flowing out of there. And so, I mean, it's for those of you that may be kind of still worried or thinking maybe, well, that was it. That's the market's over again. No, it's not. Like, at some point, this is going to hit an equilibrium. Either Grayscale is going to stop selling out, and maybe some of the buying pressure is going to slow down a little bit. You know, we've got to cool off a little bit. And that's, I think, what we have to kind of keep on reiterating is that you can't just go up forever. Like, people are going to get exhausted on both sides, whether it's selling or buying. And right now, you want the sellers to exhaust themselves. You want them to be like, okay, I'm done selling.
Yeah.
Now we'll look
at what the bulls burn their energy, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, you've got to give the bears their chance to kind of recoup whatever they want to do. And then let the bulls kind of rest on their heels for a little bit before they can push again. The big thing is that you don't want it to draw down too far. Like, there's got to be a certain level where we hit like a wall where there's a huge amount of support, where no matter what, when they try and sell below that, it's not going to happen. And that's what gives you your foundation to start the next spring up for the next cycle in the bull market, right?
Yep. And we're really just beginning this bull market, in my opinion. So, I mean, it's kind of cooling off. I mean, maybe when it takes off next, I'll officially say we're in the bull market. But I have no idea how much more it's going to increase in price. But historically, it's, you know, it multiplies two or three times pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I completely agree. I don't know. You know, I go back and forth. I'm like, are we going to still observe? And then we've talked about this, but are we still going to observe a four-year cycle? Are we going to see, you know, Bitcoin's price just go into like a super cycle where it just kind of goes up like gold did when they got their ETF? You know, I don't know how that's going to play out. I do know that obviously you've got long-term holders that I think once Bitcoin hits the $100,000 mark, because I do think that's going to happen. I do think that's going to happen before the end of this year, no problem. You know, what does that look like? I mean, do a lot of people start saying, okay, 100,000, I'm going to start selling out? Or do they say, well, man, this rocket ship's just getting taken off. Do we hold on longer? Well, you know, I don't know how that's going to work.
Yes. No, I don't either. I'm excited though. We'll just watch this market go sideways for a bit, let the bulls catch their breath, and when they take off, I think it's going to be pretty spectacular.
Yeah, and I will say, I think right now, like if you've been thinking about dipping your toes into Bitcoin, it's always so crazy because nobody wants to buy when like Bitcoin was 15,000, like when it got the sell off, you know, after the FTX collapse and all that stuff. Once that happened, nobody wanted to buy at that $15,000 mark. Now people are treating like the 60,000 like it's 15,000 all over again, right? So obviously, if you're looking to make an investment in, you haven't missed the boat yet, in my opinion. I think now is a great time to start allocating. You don't have to buy it all at once right now, but this market can shift like at the drop of a hat. So yeah. I don't know. I think it's a perfect time to make some buying opportunities.
Yeah, we just recommend that whatever your balance is at, just make sure it's not zero Bitcoin.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I think I know we've said this, but I feel like it's almost a moral imperative that you get some exposure. Whatever your number is, don't let it be zero.
All right. You got anything else, Hans?
No, I think that's just about it. But I would recommend, like, if you're looking and keep it updated with us and what we're releasing, sign up for our newsletter. You can sign up for that at www.thebitbytepodcast.com/signup. We also have the deals page on there. Like if you're going to get into self-custody, you can also go on there. You can get a Ledger or an Elopal wallet, and it does help support the channel whenever you buy through those. And not only that, but when you do sign up for the newsletter, you do get the cold custody checklist. So you know, if you're going to house your own Bitcoin, it kind of gives you a little bit of a hand-holding to help you navigate that. So,
indeed. Yep. Sign up for the newsletter. I'll send one out this today. So take care, guys.
Yeah. Thank you all for listening.